Good to see everybody out. It's always a wonderful privilege to be able to gather together. And it's always encouraging to have visitors as we have the opportunity to be here. So thankful that you are here. We hope that we've been encouraging to you so far as we went throughout our service, as we've sung these songs. I hope that we can continue to be an encouragement to you and continue to go throughout our worship and go through our lesson this morning. We use speakers out there to help people hear as they're sitting outside. So. But it's good to see everybody. During this time, it has been hard on many, and of course, I believe most have struggled one way or another throughout the pandemic that's going on as we go through this virus and everything else that's going on during this time. And it has caused some, I believe, even brethren and sisters in Christ that have got caught up and possibly dealing with depression. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. Let's go forth and talk about Christians and depression. That as we open up our Bible and see what it has to say about it, we need to keep in mind our brothers and sisters in Christ. And considering the thought that just because one is a Christian does not mean that they cannot go into depression, that they can't get caught up in this state of sorrow and sadness and allowing it to overtake them as hard times are upon. So I hope that you will open your Bibles and follow along as we go through the scriptures this morning, see what it has to say, and see what we can do about it. So if you will start with me and opening your Bibles, we want to first point out is that we can fall into depression. I want to bring that out. I want to make sure that we understand that it is a possibility that can take hand. Sometimes we can get caught up in thinking that we are so strong and that we have enough faith to get through it. But sometimes when we get caught up in our pride or arrogance, or that's when Satan will strike, that's when temptation will hit you, when something bad happens that will cause you to stumble. So take heed lest you fall. We need to be aware that it can happen. So if you will start with me, we want to look at Job. In Job chapter 6, if you will, we most of us probably know the story of Job and what has taken place here as we look at it. He was so wealthy. He was a very wealthy man. Greatest of the East is what it brings out. He had a lot of livestock. He had a great family. He was very blessed in having a bunch of kids. But as time happened, and it was during the time of which Satan was going back and forth from heaven to earth, and Satan took the challenge to try to tempt Job. And at first, he went forth and he destroyed all these things that he had, all his possessions, all the livestock and servants. And only one servant ends up escaping each situation. They come telling him of the situation. And as soon as this one is about to finish, here comes another telling him of the next one, and another telling the next one. And the last one comes and tells him that all the children have gathered under the eldest son's house. And they're all dead. Terrible situation. A terrible situation. And then he remains faithful in all that. And then Satan ends up touching Job himself, causing boils to go from the sole of his feet to the top of his head, putting him in physical pain and emotional pain, doing everything he can to bring him down. Look at the Job. We know that he did not sin with his mouth. He did not go forth and curse God or anything. But look at some of the points it makes here. Job chapter 6 and verse 4. Job chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. My spirit drinks in their poison. The terrors of God are arrayed against me." We know that as this time goes, Job continues to question why all this had happened. nothing comes to his mind. And so he continues to ponder this. He talks this over with those who have come to try to counsel him. And he's just, you can see the sorrow. You can see depression setting in. In chapter 7 and verse 11. Chapter 7, verse 11 says, "Therefore I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a sea serpent that you set a guard over me?" You can just hear the words of Job. You can listen and you can only imagine what he is going through here. Chapter 17, verse 1. Job chapter 17, you read there in verse 1, it says, "My spirit is broken. My days are exhausted. The grave extinguished. The grave is ready for me." Verse 15 of the same chapter, it says, "Where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see?" We got caught up in this same mindset over other situations in our life. Have you got caught up in pondering, "Where is my hope? I have no hope. What is there a point to live?" That's where Job was. And we see the situation. I can truly understand why he would be so sorry. Why he would have went down the road and end up being depressed. In Psalm 142, the 142nd Psalm, turn along with me there and read verse 4. Here's the Psalm of David, and we know David went through quite a bit also. David, we can sit here and talk about as he had many things to be happy about, being able to provide with his dad and help take care of the sheep and have victory over a lion and a bear, and of course having victory over Goliath, being promised the daughter of Saul, and end up being king himself one day. But during all this also there was many enemies. During all this, Saul tries to kill him himself. During all this, there are times in which he gets depressed, and of course he lost his son. So Psalm 142 and verse 4 says, "Look on my right hand and see, there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." Here he is. He's caught up in, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? Here's a man after God's own heart. Guys, we can get caught up in depression also. Here, once again, we talk about all the great things of Job. We talk about how great David had it in different points. We can look here in 1 Kings and look at Elijah. He was a prophet of God, and he was able to keep it from raining for 3.5 years by praying to God. And then he goes and faces 400 prophets of Baal, and he is victorious over them, and they are completely destroyed because of God. And yet, when his life is threatened, and he's scared and frightened about his life, he gets caught up and worried. You can see the path that he takes here in 1 Kings 19, and in verse 4 says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. He said, 'It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's.'" He's ready to give up. He's ready to throw in the towel. In verse 10, it says, "So he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left.'" They seek. If we're not careful, we can end up going down this path. We end up getting depressed over these matters also. One thing to keep in mind as we looked at these examples, we can see these examples and how they would help us in seeing the depression and what causes depression. I want to open up the Bibles and look at a few other verses and what causes the depression. What exactly causes? What does the Bible have to say about it? So if you will open with me and turn along with me in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 25. Proverbs 12 verse 25 says, Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. Here it brings out the worries. Anxiety, worrying about tomorrow, worrying about food, worrying about the job, worrying about family, worrying about death, worry, anxiety can cause depression. And that's once again, that doesn't define what everybody's been going through throughout this time. We need to have concern for one another, checking on one another to make sure that they are continuing to be strong, seeing if we can help them. Because this is something that has hit a lot of people. Anxiety, the worries of the world. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13, Proverbs 15 and in verse 13 here says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. It's the sadness, the sorrow. Brings out a broken heart. Leads to the depression. We need to be careful. We need to keep in mind one another. We need to know that depression can happen and then see the things that cause it. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and in verse 2, if you look along with me here, if you start off in chapter 1. In chapter 1 and verse 3, it kind of tells you the situation here. It says, and they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and the gates are buried with fire. So here's the news that he has just got, the news that he's been told of what's going on here in Jerusalem, what's going on with his brethren. And so you read here in chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad since you are not sick? There's nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. And as you read it and you look here, he was sad. He was sorrow. He could not hide it. The king could tell. Prayed for his brethren. He was sad to see how things have turned out. And then as it gets brought to the light, it put more fear into things which cause depression. That which will lead to depression. We need to make sure we're careful, paying attention to one another, being there for one another. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7 says, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Here it talks about, yes, here the situation in which they were to practice church discipline, which they might have to withdraw from somebody. But if the opportunity, because verse 6 says, the punishment which is inflicted by the majority is sufficient. Such a man. But again, here's the heart that we need to have for one another is being ready to forgive. When we do wrong and we know that we have that can cause us to go into depression also. We start to judge ourselves, we start to tell ourselves that we can't be forgiven, we start to tell ourselves we're not worth it. You look at the examples that we've read already when we started into it, of those who have fallen into depression, those who have sorrowful hearts. We need to remember God's ready to forgive us if we're willing to repent of our sins, if we're willing to ask for forgiveness. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we live our lives following in the footsteps of Christ, that we have to be willing to forgive others also so that we can help them get past this point. Lest they be overwhelmed. So now we need to know, how does one overcome?
can we overcome depression? As a Christian, there is an answer to that. As a Christian, we can open up our Bibles and see that we can continue in joy, continue in happiness, that there's a reason to continue to have hope. There's a reason to continue. You open your Bibles and turn along with me here. You look with me as we look at Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, as we open up here and we see that we're not to be caught up in anxiety. We're not supposed to get caught up in being worried. It says here in Matthew 6, 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. We are not to get caught up in the worries of the world. We have to have faith in God. We have to keep that faith in our God. You turn along with me to Psalm 119. Another way to overcome depression is to keep our minds focused on the Word of God. Keep our minds focused on the Word of God. Psalm 119, you read along with me, verse 49. And in verse 49, it reads here, it says, remember the word of your servant. Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort, my affliction. For your word has given me life. He says, remember your word, because your word is what gives me hope. Your word is what pushes me, keeps me going. Focus your minds upon the words of God. Study the Word of God. Study the Bible. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before, for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. In here. Studying the Word of God, it's there. Why? To give you hope. You want to keep hope? You want to keep your faith? Open up your Bibles and read. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, where there it's telling us to be diligent to present yourselves a worker of God, one who can rightly divide the Word of truth, not ashamed of rightly dividing the Word of truth. We are diligently opening it up, always opening up our Bible, studying it daily. Why? Because Romans 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So therefore, when you open up your Bible and you study it, it's going to help your faith. It's going to grow your faith. Your faith is going to grow as you study the Bible. That's what we need. Stay out of depression. We need to know the Word of God. We need to reaffirm and make sure we're boldly confident in who our God is and what He can do for us and what He continues to do for us. These are ways in which we overcome depression. Another way is to keep busy in the Word of God, to continue to do the Word. We turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you read starting in verse 1. Starting in verse 1, it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in the kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your mission. I'll tell you what, something that can cause people to go to depression is when family and friends will turn to God, or they turn away from God.
sorrow in the heart. You worry for their soul. Question, what more can you do?
What can we do?
Continue to do the work of God. Paul warns Timothy, saying, people will fall away, but you continue in the work of the Lord. Same thing, if you go back to 1 Kings chapter 19, you look at Elijah after he has gone to God and he says, I'm alone, I'm all left, everybody else is forsaking you. God says, no. There are still many who have not bowed down to me. You go and anoint Elijah to take your place as the next one. You go and do the work of which I've told you to do. He doesn't let him just sit there in sorrow, but he sends him back to do the work of which he needs to be doing, the work of God. And he stay out of pressure and continue the work of the Lord. Another way is help from friends, help from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you may question my first point under that in Job chapter 2 and verse 11. In Job chapter 2, and I stopped there at verse 13 because you don't want to continue through Job if you're going to talk about his friends. Because his friends continue to say, you had to sin, you had to do wrong. But at first, the gesture that they made at first, you go there and you see how long they sat with him before they even said anything. In Job chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice on him. Job 2. Job 2 and verse 11 says, now when Job's three friends heard of all the adversity that he had come upon, each one of them came his own place. I'm going to skip all these hard names and jump down to verse 12. It says, and when they raised their eyes from afar, and they did not recognize him, they lifted their voice and wept. Each one of them tore their robe and sprinkled dust on their head toward the heaven. And they sat down with him on the ground 7 days, 7 nights. No one spoke a word to him. They saw the grief. Job's friends did great help here. In my eyesight, at least. What I can see, just having somebody there for you doesn't work. Knowing that they're there for you. Sometimes we don't know what to say other than saying, I'm here for you. They were there for him. They saw how bad he was. They also tore their clothes and poured dust over their head. I mean, they were there with him. They stayed with him for 7 days and seven. They stayed with him for a whole week, not saying anything. Just simply being there. Now, you continue through the story of Job. They messed up when they started talking. They were there. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. Turn along with me there. And you read as it says. Archarasus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, in whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers. For the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision, they have proved to be comfort to me. Paul brings out, he's telling them who's going to be coming their way. He tells them of these others, and he says, greet them. They've been there for me. They've comforted me. They can comfort you also. Having brethren to rely on, to be there for you, can be a great help. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, as it reads here, it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. We need each other. We need one another. We need to be willing to lean on one another. It's just not us knowing when somebody needs us. We have to have a good enough relationship where we can go. We are comfortable enough to go to one another. And at the end of the lesson, when I extend the invitation, it's not just to those who have yet to obey the gospel, but to the brothers and sisters in Christ who have obeyed the gospel and need prayers of the brethren who want to rely and lean on their brethren. read here in James 5, verse 16, that's your trespasses. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer will righteously avails much.
We need to keep our prayers. We need to look to one another. We need to be there for each other.
As it brought out here, we can pray for one another, but we need to do our praying also. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Here it says, be anxious for nothing. Again, don't worry about stuff. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
He'll guard your heart. He'll be there for you.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 here, telling us that, once again, go to the Lord to cast our cares upon Him. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing. Always be praying. There are a few ways in which we can overcome it. Always keep your sight on God. Always keep your minds and focus following our Lord and Savior. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of God. It says the things that He went through, the shame of being there and hung between two thieves. But there was joy in the end, the mind focus of getting to heaven, of being at the right hand of God, of being there, dying so that our sins could. Have a mindset like Christ. Look to Him, our author of faith and finisher of faith. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. As it reads here, it says, you also must be aware of Him, for He has greatly resisted our words. Get down to verse 17. I don't know why I have verse 15. Verse 15 is someone who would be causing depression, one who has pushed you away, fallen away, teaching false doctrine. And in verse 17 it says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I have verse 16 with me. As it says, at my first defense, no one stood with me. He says, I was there on trial, and no one stood with me. But then he says, Jesus was there. Not physically, but spiritually. He was there. He was in his heart. He was with him. The Spirit was with him. And so he had strength to overcome his temptations. Philippians chapter 4. You read verse 12 where he brings out, I have been hungry, and I have been well. I have been thirsty, but I've also had plenty to drink. In all things, He has learned to be content. In all things, I can do all things through Christ and strength. Verse 13. Faith in Christ. Continuously looking to Him. You can overcome depression. But we need to remember that we can't fall into it. That we ourselves can get caught up in this. So therefore, we need to make sure that we live faithfully to the Lord. That we make sure that we're there for one another. We're continuously praying, continuously studying, continuously about the work of God. If there's anything we can do for you, if you need to pray as a congregation, please let us know so that we can pray for you, so that we can check on you throughout the week, so that we know that we need to be there for you. We need to be there for one another.
You've yet to obey the gospel. And you are sitting here and you're caught up in anxiety, and sorrow, and hurt, having no hope. Again, turn to God. Turn to Christ. Come forward and be baptized. No greater hope will you have than the hope of heaven through Christ. If we can do anything for you, will you let it be known? Just stand and sing.
Is a fountain.